out of jail free. I hit the double six, I get around the board quick, man.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
I got Illinois. I trade St. James for North Carolina.
So skip the last week on the show, I talked to the big time game designer Brenda Brathwaite about how the board game Monopoly is really due for a major overhaul. In part because the rich just get richer, and that's boring.
At some point, the game is literally just about waiting for people to run out of money and perish.
Yes.
And the only person who's having any fun is the one person who's causing this destruction.
We've asked Brathwaite and you, our listeners, to help reinvent the game Monopoly. Not just because playing it should be more fun, but because capitalism and real estate have changed so much since the game was dreamed up in the 1930s. And so I thought we ought to get a hold of a real high finance expert and insider for some help. William Cohen is a former investment banker and the author of best-selling books about Wall Street, including a brand new one called Money and Power: How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. Bill, welcome back to Studio 360 and to our Monopoly makeover team.
Thank you, Kurt, for having me.
So, were you a Monopoly fan as a kid, or are you a Monopoly fan?
Not only was I a Monopoly fan, a huge Monopoly fan, my kids have also an extreme passion for the game. And, of course, they're much better now than I am, which I find very amusing.
That's interesting. Did you graduate at a certain point? Because my memories are that I really liked it at like 7, 8, 9, 10, and at a certain point I sort of moved past it, but I guess you didn't.
Well, I mean, I moved past it, you know, once I got to college, and then I was dragged back to it, and not even kicking and screaming, when my kids, two boys, decided that this was the greatest thing. And now they are aggressive players, and I used to tell them stories about how Bruce Wasserstein used to play it, you know, somebody I wrote a little bit about.
The investment banker.
And he used to make up the rules and have the bank make loans to him and leverage the real estate and really, you know, make a go of it, quite outside of the traditional rules, which, you know, was sort of a precursor to the way he ran his life. So they got a kick out of that, and they're always trying to figure out new ways to design the game.
So you allow your children, your boys, to adapt the rules?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know whether in your family, but in our family, you know, free parking, you know, becomes a bonanza, and swapping properties and aggressively, you know, holding out. I mean, yes, it becomes more aggressive and therefore more fun, and then, you know, higher beta as well. So the game, which is probably good for the adults, the game is over more quickly than it traditionally would be if you didn't sort of adapt the rules to our more freewheeling capitalist society that we live in now.
Right. It has become a little dated, right? I mean, after 75 years, the capitalist system and specifically the real estate investment world, which is what Monopoly is all about, bears scant relationship to the game of Monopoly.
Well, I think that if ever there were a game badly in needing of some updating, of it's Monopoly. Not in the sense that the basic ideas are no longer relevant, but just, you know, certainly the real estate. I mean, has anybody been to Atlantic City lately? It's certainly a short shadow of its former self, except the way it's being portrayed on HBO, which is sort of glitzy still. But you know, I think that, you know, Where are the streets paved with gold these days that would make a great setting for Monopoly updated, which I think there in fact is a version. Now there are many versions, right? But certainly Manhattan, New York is such a place where, you know, a Fifth Avenue and Park Avenue could replace sort of Boardwalk and Park Place, which is somewhat obvious, but less obvious would be, you know, even West Street, which is that highway that runs along by where the World Trade Centers were, is now the home to Goldman Sachs in a $2.7 billion new headquarters.
Right.
And so that certainly would be on that side of the board now.
It's on a more sort of fundamental and substantive level, it seems to me that maybe the most wrong thing about Monopoly as its rules are today and have been for 75 years is the fact that you can't leverage very much. You can't borrow tons of money based on a tiny amount of cash and thereby build your fortune.
Right, which of course is, we know exactly the way people make their fortunes today, especially in an environment where, you know, borrowing money is so inexpensive. Interest rates for the best borrowers are extremely low. And so that is a huge component to the way real estate moguls make their fortune. But I would say that this whole idea of accumulating assets as a way to win and collecting rent from people who land, in other words, you don't have a prayer of winning at Monopoly if you don't buy everything in sight as you land on it. And if people pass on buying properties, you have to pounce on it and buy it immediately. I think that still holds. In other words, capitalism, to thrive, you still need to have capital. You need to have assets that are earning returns. And so that part of it hasn't changed. Just, a Monopoly is a game that requires you to use all equity. And as we both were just talking about, I mean, debt is such a big part of getting the returns that you need, and borrowing money from other people is a huge part of, which is why I thought, Bruce Wasserstein, when he was 15 years old, was so prescient about where we were all headed, and that he was figuring out ways to have the bank lend him money so that he could increase his fortune.
Right. Well, one of its problems, it seems to me, is that it is so, as a game, whether or not it bears a resemblance to reality, is that it's so much about luck, that if you're lucky enough to land on the certain streets and get to buy them right away, then you win. Is luck in the real world of amassing financial and real estate fortunes as important as it is in Monopoly?
Well, obviously, there's always an element of luck in business, but I think that the proportions are, as you point out correctly, quite skewed on Monopoly. You know, if you landed, a jail instead of a property, even if you're just visiting on that first go-round, you're at an immediate disadvantage because it's all about collecting those properties, collecting those assets. And in the real world, yes, good fortune plays a role too, but being smart and buying things correctly. I mean, there's no concept really of a distressed real estate investment in Monopoly,
right,
except maybe towards the end of the game. And that's such a big important part of making it in the real estate world, is buying things at a discount and knowing when to buy when other people are selling.
So in fact, when the inevitable losers start losing, maybe one of our reinventions would be to allow the winners to say, okay, I'll take that off your hands for a dollar.
Or somebody else who hasn't quite lost yet, or who may be, in stronger shape than somebody going down the tubes, but having the opportunity to, because usually the way it works is the person you owe the rent to, if you can't pay him, then he just takes everything and you're basically gone.
Right.
How about having a little bidding war between some of the other players for those assets who are not necessarily own that money, that rent, but, could maybe bid up the assets and see an opportunity.
Right.
Because that's what really happens in the real world. It's not just a sort of one-sided event. Even when a company's going to bankruptcy, creditors can be trumped, even though they're owned, no pun intended, can be when they're owned money, because somebody else can come along and make a higher bid.
Right. The bank in Monopoly is this entirely neutral entity. It's just a cash clearinghouse. Is that wrong? I mean, you've written, in this new book about Goldman Sachs and how they rule the world. They're a bank. Should some players somehow be a bank and thereby be able to use their banking facilities to win the game?
Well, the idea that you could get money from a bank and they wouldn't charge you interest for it is, of course, laughable, as we all know. So that is not realistic. And, the fact that, one of the tenets of capitalism is that you make money on your capital, and that's what banks are in the business to do. They borrow cheaply and they lend dearly, and there's no concept of that in Monopoly. So while I do like and applaud this new sort of digital tower that has been created by the Monopoly folks to sort of eliminate paper money, which seems quite realistic and up to date and speeds up the game, let's get some wheeling and dealing going in here. I think that would make the game even more exciting.
Right. The state, the government, has very little to do with the Monopoly game. I mean, you can land, you can pay taxes, and you can go to jail if you land on the wrong spot or draw the wrong card. Should there be...
And you can park for free,
right?
Theoretically.
I mean, I guess you could argue that, well, there's relatively little government intervention as it is, so maybe that's an accurate reflection. How do you feel in terms of making the game better and or more realistic, whether there should be more or the same kinds of government intervention?
Well, maybe a government bailout would be an option. Certainly, we know that that happened repeatedly in the last 3 years, whether it was in the auto industry or on Wall Street. The government has decided that certain industries are strategically important and can't let them fail. Some of the players are strategically important and shouldn't be allowed to go out of business. Maybe there's a way to get a low-interest loan like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley did from the government. Or maybe, you know, even Warren Buffett could have a seat at the table with an investment to help bail out somebody who's in a dire predicament.
We all remember, and it's entered the cultural lexicon, go to jail or get out of jail free. One of our listeners, as we announced this makeover, Roberto, wrote suggesting how it might be in the made-over game. Maybe you're guilty, maybe you're innocent, but hey, does it really matter? Some money placed in the right hands can buy your release. I'm not sure we want to do that in our new Monopoly, but lots of people, I mean, you hear a lot. Why hasn't anyone involved in the meltdown of the last several years been prosecuted or gone to jail? Why hasn't Goldman Sachs been indicted? Is that the fault of the rules? Or did they follow the rules and the rules are just give us what we now have? Or should somebody be going to jail and not collecting $200?
Well, this is a very profound question you've asked, Kurt, quite aside from redesigning the Monopoly game. There were two people indicted so far. The two Bear Stearns hedge fund managers were indicted, and, of course, they were tried and acquitted,
right,
not guilty. And since then, basically, there's been no prosecution of anybody or anything. I mean, recently, last week, Senator Carl Levin issued his report about the financial crisis, and he reportedly referred to the Justice Department a number of Goldman Sachs executives for investigation. And a number of people have sort of asked me about that and saying, you know, what are the laws? Are there laws that they could be prosecuted under for sort of making bets against the mortgage market while at the same time continuing to sell mortgage-backed securities and sort of taking your client's information and using that to your own advantage? Are there laws against that? And, you know, frankly, I don't know that there are laws against that.
Right.
Maybe there should be laws. Maybe it's unethical. Maybe it's immoral. But I'm not sure that there are such laws, and maybe that's what the conundrum is here. I mean, with so many people having such a profound effect on what happened here and sort of all working together in almost a perfect storm of collusion, if you will, of making this disaster possible, it's really hard to parse through it all and find out who is the guilty party. And yet we're sort of left with this empty feeling because we know that this was a preventable crisis and didn't need to happen, but it was perpetrated on us by people on Wall Street. And it's a shame that sort of none of them are being held accountable for that.
Not only not being held accountable in any kind of legal sense or much of a general cultural shame sense, but they're all making out financially like crazy again, as though their recovery was very quick.
Well, let's put a number on that. I think the bonuses paid out on Wall Street this year were around $150 billion. It clearly was the desire of the government during the bailout to get Wall Street back on its feet again as quickly as possible to reestablish the status quo. And let's be clear, that has happened. You know, Citigroup yesterday reported that it made, you know, $3 billion in profit again. Even Citigroup is back. So Wall Street is back. The time has come to get Main Street back on its feet, and you know that hasn't happened. Where's that same impetus to get Main Street back on its feet that there seemed to be to get Wall Street back on its feet?
Now back to the game of Monopoly. What are your several top suggestions for how we ought to make the game either more fun and or more realistic?
I'm totally on board with the leverage idea. You ought to be able to make this bank a real bank. If your credit rating can be assessed. I'm sure that digital tower could assess your credit rating. Have that bank make you loans that you can, you know, that you have to pay interest on and pay back. And if you don't, you're in trouble. But you know, let's goose the returns. Let's have more fun with it that way. And I think, you know, beyond that, I think now, as we've talked about, there are different versions for almost all cities, and even baseball teams now have versions of
right.
Monopoly. But I think that Atlantic City is the main base of this game still strikes me as seriously dated.
Yes. Well, you know, Donald Trump is a big investor in Atlantic City, but I guess he's seriously dated as well.
Well, with that hairdo alone, he's seriously dated.
Our game designer that we've conscripted to help us do this, Brenda Brathwaite, she was a big Monopoly player as a child. To her, one of its great shortcomings as a game is that after a few turns, there are the haves and have-nots, the losers and the winners, and the outcome is pretty well set. What might we do to keep the game interesting? I guess this idea of being able to highly leverage and take out big loans would allow people who didn't get lucky enough to buy properties early on to have another chance.
Yes, and I think that, again, getting back to your point about luck, you know, if you don't land on a property, you really don't have any chance to buy it. So maybe there ought to be some bidding system, again, aided by the digital tower, to allow people who have, you know, who haven't been fortunate enough during their spins to land on valuable properties or interesting properties, to then, you know, to borrow from the bank and therefore have more capital on hand to bid up the price of these properties, which is, of course, what happens in the real world.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, of course, I suspect that none of this will end well. I mean, in Monopoly, as we all know, there's sort of one loser and everybody, a winner and everybody else loses. And I suspect if you ratchet up the risk taking, you know, we know how it's going to end as well. But it might be a little more fun along the way. Of course, if you then factored into having a government's role where they help bail out people, well, then maybe you could prolong the game and keep the fun going. And of course, most importantly, the bonuses being paid out.
Well, and maybe you could have a dice roll or a spin that would make the government either a more regulatorily inclined lefty government or a more, you know, Republican laissez-faire government.
And well, of course, the recent crisis turned all that on its head because we know that it was, you know, Hank Paulson, the Republican, and George Bush, the Republican, who bailed out Wall
right.
Street to the tune of trillions of dollars. So I don't know whether it's the government on the left that's doing the bailing out or the government on the right. I think they both agree that the bailouts had to happen, and that's why they did happen. But, you know, you have to be careful of not making it too complicated because you don't want to lose those budding capitalists, you know, who you know, get attracted to the game because of its relative simplicity
right.
in terms of rules. And if you make it too complicated, then, you know, then only Harvard Business School graduates will be able
right.
to play.
Now, you played as a child, loved it. I assume you were good. You became an investment banker. Do you, as your children, as your sons now are avid Monopoly players, do you think, well, I see where this is leading?
Well, don't forget, I was a journalist first before I was a banker, and now I've gone back to journalism.
Yes.
And I suspect that my kids will not want to have anything to do with Wall Street. You know, it's not in their DNA anymore. But they do get very competitive when it comes to playing that game. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, they vanquished me very quickly now, which is actually fine. I can go on to writing something or doing something else. But they are very, very competitive, and the decibel level in our home gets very loud as they're working their way through the board.
Just like in a trading floor.
Very much, very much. You know, hopefully they don't treat each other poorly, but yes, there's no question that they get very emotional about what's going on in that game, and some of the things we've talked about here would probably ratchet up that intensity and the emotions, which would be fun to watch.
Well, when we have our finished, proposed, remade, reinvented 21st century Monopoly, we'll bring it back to you.
I would love to play that, and I'm sure my kids would love to vanquish me once again.
William Cohen is the author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. You can hear some more of our conversation at studio360.org. But what do you think? What changes would you make to bring Monopoly into the 21st century? We're collecting your ideas at studio360.org right now. Send them to us by May 1st, that's May Day, and they may be incorporated into a new and improved unofficial edition of Monopoly.